right, welcome to The One. This is Greg Gutfeld, our second podcast. I'm very excited. We have two very intelligent and different people on today. First, we have Lori Harfiness. She's a writer. She wrote a book called I, Human, which excites me because it involves robots. And if you know me well, 90% of my life is spent thinking about robots, artificial intelligence, and the coming extinction of the human race because we are blindly hurtling ourselves towards irrelevance because we're inventing something that is actually better than us. But we'll get to that later. Also, Lauren Southern. She's Southern, but she's from Canada. That was a stupid joke. You're a political commentator and author. Lauren, happy to see you here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Lori, great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
You're a little firecracker.
Yes, I am.
You are. There are three stories here that I'm going to let you choose which one to go first. You can vote. Although there's the legging story, United Airlines, which, yeah, I don't know. There's Elon Musk. I know what you're going to say. And then there's my favorite story of the week, which is just about me going to the dentist and getting nitrous oxide.
I'm up for following your lead. I mean, of course I want to start with Musk.
Yes.
I'm all about the Musk.
Yeah.
I'm wearing the SpaceX hat for you right now.
All right.
The leggings sound like a crucial topic, I'm going to be honest.
Yes. Yeah, yes. How about this? We start with Elon Musk. Get that out of the way. Do the leggings and then end on nitrous oxide.
Perfect.
All right. So Elon Musk, he's got this company, Neuralink, in which he wants to – in order to fight the coming threat of artificial intelligence, which is going to take over our lives – he wants to connect our brains to computers. Do you know what this is, Lori?
Yes, I do. And he compares it to – well, he says that we're already there.
Yes.
From a brainwave perspective, and that's where I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we already consider – computers are electronic devices, an
yes.
extension of ourselves. We just have to reach it through our fingers to
right.
the screen, whereas those connections can be happening in our brain.
I think we're asking for too much. Because – I mean, the thing is, like – think about all the work that goes into putting something metal into your meat, right? You got to open up your brain. You're putting metal into meat. Why not just get a better phone?
Well, you can do that too. You can do that too.
I mean, I don't need my phone in my brain. Laura, you said something really interesting before we started when we were talking about this brain-computer interface. You said something about who's going to get – who will have this?
Yeah, well, I don't want – you've already got like the Kissingers and the Rothschilds of the world that are getting 10,000 heart transplants. And they're going to be the only ones that can afford to be cyborgs. And then
yes.
we're going to have to deal with them living forever in their billion-dollar kingdoms.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So you mentioned the Rothschilds. You're one of those people. You're one of those people. Okay. Do you often think about the Trilateral Commission?
Oh, often. What is this? They're giving us chemtrails through Chipotle drink fountains, that
yes,
one?
Yes, yeah. yes. I think about that. But this is an interesting point, Lori, because Lauren is saying that, like, and people are talking about this with AI, that once every millions and millions of men are unemployed because artificial intelligence, automation, or robots replaces jobs, the only people that are going to be making any money are the people in Silicon Valley who created this progress or problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have 10s, 20s, 30s million men and women marching onto Silicon Valley to behead them.
It's going to be crazy.
It
isn't
is.
It? The pitchforks. It's going to be complete darkness.
It
we're going
is.
To go back to the Iron Age. No, this is what we do. This is where we're going. And,
yes.
and there's always a new panic. In the 70s, you can look at the Life magazine covers where they say, we're going to have 7 billion people on the planet.
Right.
We're all going to die.
Yeah.
And like, so no one even talks about that. No one talks about the fact that, remember there was a hole in the ozone layer?
That is true.
Remember the ozone? Remember we were going to die? That's fixed.
Yeah.
Did you know that the ozone has pretty much repaired itself completely?
You know how we fixed it? Global warming. Global warming fixed it.
Well, that was a part of it, but we also stopped using the aerosol crap.
Yes, Aquanet.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped using Aquanet.
I think the issue with this problem, though, is we can't tell if we've lost.
Right.
Like, what if we already have the chips in our brain?
Exactly.
What if we're AI?
This is
exactly.
This is in Nick Bostrom's book, Superintelligence. He says, what if AI is pretending right now? Like we've already reached what do you call it, superintelligence,
mm-hmm.
or with the recursive self-learning where the robots make us essentially like farm animals, but we don't know that because they've tricked us. Or you can do the Matrix thing where it happened. In fact, the odds are it's already happened.
Right.
So
I mean,
AI
there's lots of
up.
Proof about alternative realities
yeah.
and alternate universes and all these different, you know,
right.
perceptive dimensions that, like, we have no access to right now.
But
we're just opening them up. Who knows?
There was a point made that, like, there are more potential for alternative universes than there is actually one real universe. So the odds are that we're probably in a simulation.
Exactly.
Right
exactly.
now.
Probably. And you know what? This is like
it's
a really good
simulation.
Joke for the AI watching us because they set us up in this little hot room here and
yes.
they're watching us talk about how they took over, making us think that it's not happening.
Reality is perception anyway. That's the bottom line and that's the whole nut of it. And if everyone just stopped trying to look at things as good or bad or, oh no, this is terrible or, oh no, this is great and just look at, like, it's probably both. It's probably a little bit of
it's
both because
be...
it just is. Work with it from there. Like, this
All
is
right.
what we do. We can't stop. Progress.
Okay, but think about why we don't have any interaction from other life forces out there. The theory is that they also reached this point where AI, they invented computing and then invented AI, and then AI just basically paved over their planets. And that's why the universe is so quiet. So we're like the last remaining planet that hasn't succumbed. Shouldn't we put up a fight?
Yeah, and I don't believe in that one.
No,
I believe that we are the spawn of you know, some alien seeds that came down, you know, thousands upon thousands
Isn't that
of years ago. Yeah, they have a bit of that in
yes.
there too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So did like you can find evidence of it in
right.
you know ancient Egypt and all these ancient
yeah.
cultures all had that. They believed in the aliens.
I mean,
things from above.
It's
yes.
certainly
from the
possible.
Sky.
Yeah. I love to look at the AI that we already have right now, though, that we can observe. Have you guys heard of Tay Tweets by Microsoft?
No.
Okay, so Microsoft created a Twitter account called Tay Tweets, and it learns via people tweeting it. So what happens is on the internet, the most people who use the internet all the time tend
yeah.
to be the nerds, and the nerds are on extreme political spectrums usually.
Right.
So they turned Tay Tweets into a Nazi within around 24 hours.
I remember this.
Yeah. So this could go a lot more hilarious or terrible than we think if the AI are not part of our brains and you could have the crazy communists creating their AI bots that align with them and the crazy Nazis.
Yes.
And
also, they can make you look – I mean, it's like robots could put stuff in your computer that you didn't put there and then have you arrested. I often think about that.
Whoa, I didn't think about that.
No, I think about that a lot. I think about a lot of really –
I think it's scary to think that they created our reality, personally.
Yeah.
That's a little bit heavier
How
for me.
How boring are they?
Than coffee drugging. Like, oh, you know, it'd be fun if the robots drugged our coffee.
Yes.
You know? Let's just see what humans would do if we did this.
Yeah, you know, and before we move to the second topic, you said like Westworld, one of the problems with TV shows is they make it fun. So, but these things that we're talking about aren't actually fun, but they're interesting. And because they're interesting, we don't take them as seriously. Like, imagine if there were sci-fi shows about terror. We'd be going, oh, yeah, we wouldn't even think about terror in the same way that we do AI. But AI has the same potential as terror. It could wipe us out. Or could you imagine, like, science fiction, climate change show? I guess there are. Things like that.
I mean, we have to, though. We just have to. We have to pursue
yes.
it. We can't stop ourselves. That's just it.
All right.
It's in us.
You know what else is an unbelievable story this week? United Airlines. I did a monologue on this on Monday. I applauded United Airlines. They banned these teenage girls from flying because they weren't dressed properly. They were in this modern invention, at least in my time. I think they're called leggings, what we used to call tights. What mimes used to wear. This was a fairly big story. What the story itself isn't about the banning. It's about celebrities getting on Twitter because their lives are so empty that they have to tweet about a gate agent, like in Minnesota, who should be fired. Like you have like Chrissy Teigen, like her outrage, you know, over this. It's like, why don't you go outside and play? You're rich. Leave us alone. Does that make sense?
People don't understand how standby flying works. These
yeah.
girls were getting free flights.
Yes, as part of employees.
All you have to do is dress nice.
Yeah.
That's
I would
one
if they
job.
Told me if they told yeah. me to put on a sheep's outfit and sit in the middle and go bam,
yeah.
that's your free flight. All right. All right, I'm doing it.
Technically you're representing United Airlines. And
yeah.
unless you
yeah,
have
whatever.
A really great
it's a free
ass,
flight.
You can't
shut up.
You can't wear leggings, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's the they were it's called a travel pass if they're
yep.
flying as guests of employees, they have to fulfill the same criteria.
Right, the same dress code they have
yeah.
to subscribe to. They're representing
yeah.
the airline. You have to adhere to the dress code, and you get a free flight.
Yes.
Like, don't wear leggings.
Yeah, and a couple of them, they just had to put on a shirt. But the story is the busybody. It wasn't the girls. It was the busybody who was out there with their phone, and she's a blogger, and she's like, oh, my God, look what's going on over here. Tweet, 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 tweet. And then you have LeVar Burton. You have Chrissy Teigen. You have what's her name? The girl from Patricia Arquette. So it's like, what are you doing on a Sunday that allows you to get so upset? I mean, Patricia Arquette, didn't she win an award for Boyhood? Like, you have things in your life.
Well, if people wonder what being famous or internet famous is like, it's sitting on your phone in a corner,
yes,
not talking to anyone.
Yes, that's so true. It's so true. It is. It's weird, though, because I think if you why don't you just – if you walk away from that, it doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, it doesn't
exist.
Exactly. Yeah. But you can put yourself in it. Then you have to respond. You have to.
Right. You can choose to get into that alternate reality that we've created,
yeah,
that is a bad representation of humanity. It's the worst of humans. We know,
yes,
this. Everything goes right to Nazi or Hitler. We know this. We've,
yes,
known this for years.
I've called you Hitler anonymously. I have a few anonymous tweet bots that go after you when I'm upset.
Well,
I don't even know why.
Yeah, this is you know,
I call you Hitler. I call you just a Nazi.
Just a Nazi.
Just,
right,
a Nazi.
Is there a difference?
Yeah. Well, he was more than a Nazi. He was a lead Nazi.
Right, right. Oh,
okay.
But with that,
I was just following orders.
Yeah, there you go. I had an idea for there should be travel lessons. Like, wouldn't it be cool if it was like mandatory in high school, like hygiene, which they don't do anymore, but like how to pack so you don't slow us down in line. So like if you're a teenager, you already know that how to take off your belt and how to just make it easy for everybody else. And then you could have like how to dress so you don't gross people out. Like, no, like if you have terrible toenails, I see guys with like horrible toenails.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wear flip-flops, period, because I don't need to see the claws of death protruding from your wrinkly flesh. And I'm fairly open-minded, but how to dress so you don't gross people out. Also, how to board. That's new, and maybe it's not a human's fault. It's the system. But why is it that everybody now has to crowd? They all get up. The plane's not going to leave without you.
Right?
It's all about it's all about trying to get overhead.
The overhead, yeah, space. You know what I just signed up for?
What?
Global entry.
Oh, TSA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
I was like, take my fingerprints, my iris, whatever you want. I am skipping that line.
It's awesome. It's the best feeling. It makes you feel so important. Do you do that?
I intentionally go through the security and ask for the pat down,
oh,
even,
really?
If they don't want it.
No, wow,
that's hot.
You're like, you're like reverse
hot
harassment. You make the 55-year-old man uncomfortable.
And then I scream about how I'm a sovereign citizen and they shouldn't force me to do,
yes,
this.
And then
it's all a display.
And then you strip. That was that guy. Remember the guy that stripped? That was about 5 years ago. He did the sovereign speech and then he took off his clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't me. All right, this is a weird story that maybe I'm the only one that's interested in because I went to the dentist on Monday. Yeah, Monday.
It involves drugs, so I'm interested.
Yeah, yo, I'm mildly obsessed with how drugs like nitrous oxide affect your thoughts because it proves that you're not really you, because your thoughts suddenly start going into different places, and then you realize that the self is just not really there. It's just a plate of thoughts. And nitrous comes in and goes, hey, and starts mixing up the thoughts. I'm making hand motions, by the way.
Yeah, he's mixing the air.
So I sit down, and I have very sensitive teeth, and they're just cleaning my teeth. And the guy goes, you know, he's offered me nitrous before. And I go, yeah, you're going to I'm going to do nitrous. And he goes, oh, funny story. And so this is an amazing story. He goes, you know, there's a shortage of nitrous oxide. And I go, no. And he goes, yeah, there was a building. There's four companies that make nitrous oxide in the world. And one of them blew up in Florida. I looked up the story. I don't have a date on it. January. It happened in January. So it blew up. So get this. The name – this is my favorite part of the story. The name of the company that makes the nitrous oxide is Nitrous Oxide Corporation.
Yeah.
So it's like Batman. It's like, you know, if you go to – like in Batman, the company was like, you know, Evil Explosions Incorporated. And like all the bad guys had like henchmen written on it. But it's like Nitrous Oxide Corporation. It's an air gas company. So anyway,
perfect.
He tells me that there's a shortage and I kind of go – and then he goes, oh, no, we got some. We have some. So don't worry. And I go, good. And so you look like you've done nitrous.
Yes.
I mean, I tell you, you're
yes,
nodding.
Only for the dentist,
you
though.
You can tell.
Only for the, but you know, when what nitrous teaches you is how to act when you're high. Because when you're sitting there, you're going like, okay, don't talk. Because you're going to say something personal about yourself. And like the doctor said, oh, he was telling me this before. People do nitrous. They hit on the – they'll hit on the hygienist or they'll talk about personal stuff. And I'm going like, okay, think about – do not speak unless you're spoken to. And then I'm thinking like, don't make any rash movements, because what if you hit somebody? A friend of mine hit a nurse in the hospital under anesthesia, and that was an incident. And I was like, I realized that nitrous, when you're taking nitrous, it's like training you how to do drugs without getting caught.
That's nice.
Yes. I don't understand why we're talking about chemical biological warfare with like Ebola and stuff when we could just bomb the Middle East with nitrous oxide. And they could all sit down and have like an honest conversation about their feelings. Yeah. Like, I didn't really want to do female genital mutilation to her. I just want to smoke some weed and chill here, and everyone could.
Well,
sit
drug
down.
Could be an alternative to ideologies. I believe that.
I
think drugs are probably the Absolutely. Preferable to any kind of punitive mm-hmm. ideology.
Yes.
Have you ever done nitrous?
I've never done nitrous.
Okay.
I got Oxy once.
Oxy's
for my teeth as well.
Oxy is the greatest drug ever invented, which is why it's being abused. It's because it works. People are abusing it because it works. And they have to figure out a way how to deal with this issue because it's ugly. The Oxy epidemic tells you more about life than it does about Oxy, that so many people are using it because they're miserable.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
about back pain.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And or like even all the antidepressants mm-hmm. or the any mood altering thing, we're an unhappy people. What is that supposed to be? But we're all supposed to be happy.
I think that's the conflict, is that we are telling people that there's something wrong with them if they're not happy. So the pursuit of happiness creates more unhappiness when you should just be okay.
Right, right.
Like, be miserable half the day.
That's right. Happiness isn't like a destination. It's a process. Yeah. It's a verb. It's not a noun.
Goes back to my point about nitrous revealing the temporary nature of your thoughts. So like when you're on nitrous, I'm sitting there getting my teeth cleaned. I can't keep my thoughts in a line. And then the music that's playing is warped. When you hear the music in the radio, everything's warped. So you realize that you don't even own your thoughts if something like a gas can mess with it. So then that tells you that if you're unhappy, just wait a little bit. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about the everyday moods of a human being, because clinical depression is a biological disorder that needs to be treated. But like everyday moods are moods for a reason. They move. They're like rivers of water. What a terrible metaphor.
This is just a glitch in the system, Greg. It's just a – the drugs is really you downloaded a bad program on accident and it's all files all over the place.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it – no, if you look at it that way, that could be what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know – well, I know you're a Stern fan too. You know Dr. Sarno?
Oh, he saved my life.
Me too.
Sarno. Yeah. Sarno is – okay. I was an editor of Men's Health. I don't like any kind of like new age psychobabble stuff. But listening to Howard Stern, Dr. Stern had terrible back pain. So did John Stossel, a few other people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It's all of the millennials in Canada right now.
But you know what? They're doing it for the Oxy. A doctor once gave me – well, anyway, I won't get into that. But to your point, because I interrupted, Sarnoff, I got that book, right?
Sarno.
Got the book.
Mm-hmm.
Made an appointment to see him. This was got to be about 5 years ago. And I think he was retired.
Yeah, he retired.
Yeah. And so I emailed him and I said, look, I've had back pain for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years and I might need surgery. And he goes, I've retired, but I can give you an appointment at, is it NYU or it's over on the east side?
Mm-hmm.
So I go and I make the appointment and he goes, by the way, you know, I don't know if he told me to read his book or I looked it up. So I get the book, which is Heal Back Pain.
Yeah.
And by the time I get to page like 100, I'm done. I think I figured this whole thing out. I figured it out. And then so I go to email him and I go, yeah, I'm going to cancel the appointment. And he wrote back, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, because it just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he goes, that happens. A lot of people after they read the book, they don't realize they don't have to go.
Right.
And it's all it is about how you basically you store stress in your muscles.
It's the way that your brain reacts to stimulus, right?
Yeah.
It has to react to physical, visual, and emotional stimulus, and it has to do something with it. And the way your brain regulates things is by sending oxygen here or there.
Yeah.
And to get rid of the emotional stress, your brain has to decide what it's going to do with the stress. And one coping mechanism it does is it takes that stress and just shoots it into a pain that distracts you from thinking about what's really bothering you, which is, you know, your mom didn't love you or whatever it
is. Or hostility.
But right. He's, so a lot of anger. If, a lot of anger, this tension, kind of stuff anxiety. Those kinds of negative inputs you shove into your muscles.
This kind of stuff convinces me that the hippies are like the Neo of this Matrix, and they're sitting here trying to explain to us all what's going on.
Well, no, but it all goes hand in hand.
This is, but this is the only time I ever – like, because I was – when I worked at Rodale, which was a health magazines. I hated mind-body people because they were annoying. They just were annoying. But this is different because this is – this guy's research is based on tens of thousands of patients and looking at looking at X-rays.
He was an actual real doctor in the mid-century, and they were actually studying this.
Yeah. And he looked at X-rays. There's nothing on the X-ray that shows any problem. There's nothing in the MRIs when MRIs came around that shows any problem. And so he just started talking to the patients, and that's how he got Stern. And then I went by, and then John Stossel used to work at Fox. Stossel, he's a legend, and he went through the same thing and did something on 2020. Stossel and Stossel's brother both had severe back pain. And I think he did Sarno, S-A-R-N-O. Anyway, Sarnoff is the terrorist. I apologize. I'm confusing him with the Boston bomber. How awful is that? Now people are like Googling for this back doctor and they're getting a horrible terrorist. But then – and then there was another person that – I have a friend of mine that runs a record company. He has a stack of healing back pain, like just this, like 200 books. And so when you come in, no matter who you are, if you're having a meeting or whatever, he goes, oh, by the way, here. It's just like a pen. He like handing a pen because he is so fanatical about how it changed. And it changed my life. Yeah. I mean, like I was so pathetic with my back. I would go on vacation with my wife and I would lie. Like she would lie on the chaise lounge. I would lie on the ground. Like, I go, I can't lie on that because that hurts my back. Everything hurts my back. Oh, I can't do that. It hurts my back. And it's because you fetishized it.
Right.
You've turned it into this thing.
Right.
And you have to, and you are like always touching it. You're always like, oh, my back. And then I don't know what part of that book when it hit me when he says, do not alter or adjust the way you live. Like, do not do anything.
Just acknowledge it.
Don't acknowledge it.
It's all in your head.
And then it's like, literally, it's like, am I that simplistic that that's all it took? That's all it took was for me to say, screw you. And that's what Stossel does. He yells at his back pain.
Yeah. That's totally a way to handle that.
Sure. And it was like, and I go, it was that simple. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote about it. And I always tell people to you've got to, it's almost the same thing with meditation. We're just basically trying to get rid of thoughts.
Well, I think we're living in a generation now, or world now, rather, that is completely unaware of mindfulness and being still.
Right.
And just like being able to even just feel their body and think about the fact that they're in a body. We have our phone. We have distractions everywhere constantly.
Yeah.
We act like drug addicts when we put our phone down.
Yes.
We can't sit still.
That is true.
So we don't know how to be mindful. We don't know how to control our stress. Sometimes, yeah.
It's hard. It's the hardest thing in the world. I think meditating.
It gets easier.
Yeah. I mean, I do it when I find that everything's filling up, you know, in my brain.
Yeah.
So I do
like
it.
A little T.O.
Yeah. So I go. And then I try. And then I turn it into a video game. Because, like, so the, like, you know what it is? Like, so when the whole point of meditation is to make sure to identify a thought and then push the thought away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Space Invaders. So the thought's coming at me. It's like, I'm thinking about work tomorrow. I have that podcast tomorrow. And I go, nope, that's a thought. And you push it away. The only problem is the pushing away exercise becomes
a thing. Uh-huh.
That becomes a thought.
Right.
So then you have to create a thought.
Right.
You have to create a way to stop thinking about the video game.
Right.
But then that's a thought. And then you have – what is that? The tortoise syndrome where the tortoise under the tortoise under the tortoise. What is that? The turtle. I can't remember.
Don't think about the turtle.
Don't think about the turtle.
Push the turtle away.
They told me to rap now because I think I was going way crazy. Lauren, that was fun. We talked about stuff.
We did. We got it done.
Three. No, but all of them came together.
They did.
AI, nitrous, and leggings all
meshed. Just like Elon Musk's mesh, baby.
No, it's what the robots and AI wanted.
And basically, if you reboot your system, guys, you're going to be good and the back pain will be gone.
That's right.
Just delete those files, get a malware.
There you go. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks
that was
for
fun.
Having us.
Cheers.
See you next week.